the Black Bull of Norroway. And many a hunting song they sung, and song of game and glee, then tuned to plaintive strains their tongue of Scotland's Louvre and Lee. To wilder measures next they turned, the black, black bull of Norroway. Suddenly the taper ceased to burn, the minstrel ceased to play. From The Coot of Kildare by J. Leyden. In Norroway, Langshan, there lived a certain lady, and she had three daughters. The oldest of them said to her mither, "Mither, bake me a bannock and roast me a collop, for I'm going away to see my fortune." Her mither did say, and the doctor gave away to an old witch washerwife and told her purpose. The old wife bade her stay that day and gang and look out her back door and see what she could see. She saw nocht the first day. The second day she did the same and saw nocht. On the third day she looked again and saw a coach and six coming along the road. She ran in and told the old wife what she saw. "I will," quo the old wife, "yon's for you." Say they took her into the coach and galloped aff. The second doctor says to her mither, "Mither, bake me a bannock and roast me a collop, for I'm gone away to seek my fortune." Her mither did say, and awa she gave to the old wife as her sister had done. On the third day she looked out the back door and saw a coach and four coming along the road. "A wheel," quo the old wife, "yon's for you." Say they took her in and aff they set. The third doctor says to her mither, "Mither, bake me a bannock and roast me a collop, for I'm gone awa to see me fortune." Her mither did say, and awa she gave to the old witch wife. She bade her look out her back door and see what she could see. She did say, and when she came back, said she saw nocht. The second day she did the same and saw nocht. The third day she looked again, and on coming back said to her old wife she saw nocht, but a muckle black bull coming roaring alang the raid. "Aweel," quo the old wife, "yon's for you." On hearing this, she was next to distracted with grief and terror, but she was lifted up and set on his back, and awa they went. Aye, they travelled, and on they travelled till the lady grew faint with hunger. "Eat out my right lug," says the black bull, "and drink out my left lug, and set by your leavings." Say she did as she said, and was wonderfully refreshed. And lang they gaed, and Sarah they rayed, till they came a sight of a very big and bonny castle. "Yonder we man be this night," quo the bull, "for me old brother lives yonder," and presently they were at the place. They lifted her half his back and took her in and sent him away to a park for the night. And in the morning, when they brought the bull hame, they took the lady into a fine shining parlour and gave her a beautiful apple, telling her no to break it till she was in the greatest strait ever mortal was in the world, and that wide bring her out. Again she was lifted on the bull's back, and after she had ridden far, and farer than I can tell, they came in sight of a far bonnier castle, and far farther awa than the last. Says the bull tiller, "Yonder we maun be, full night, for me stricken brother lives yonder." And when they were at the place directly, they lifted her down and took her in and sent the bull to the field for the night. And in the morning they took the lady into a fine and rich room and gave her the finest pair she had ever seen, bidding her no to break it till she was in the greatest strait ever mortal could be in, and that war to get her out. Again she was lifted and set on his back, and awa they went, and alang they gaed, and Sarah they rayed, till they came in sight of the far biggest castle, and far farthest aff they had yet seen. "We maun be yonder the night," says the bull, "for me young brither lives yonder." And they were there directly. They lifted her down, took her in, and sent the bull to the field for the night. In the morning they took her into a room the finest aye, and gaed her a plum, telling her no to break it, till she was in the greatest strait mortal could be in, and that way'd get her out. Presently they brought hame the bull, set the lady on his back, and awa they went. And aye they gaed, and on they rayed, till they came to a dark and ugsome glen, where they stopped, and the lady lighted down. Says the bull to her, "Here ye maun stay till I gang and fight the deil. Ye maun seat yourself on that stein, and move neither hand nor foot till I come back, else I'll never find ye again. And if everything round ye turns blue, I ha' beaten the divil. But should a things turn red, he'll have conquered me." She set herself down the stain, and by round her turned blue. O'ercome with joy, she lifted the phaeton and crossed it o'er the ither. Say glad was she that her companion was victorious. The bull returned and sought for, but never could find her. Lang she sat, and aye she grat till she wearied. At last she rase and gaed awa', she kedna warsh till. On she wandered till she came to a great hill of glass that she tried aye she could to climb, but wasna able. Round the bottom of the hill she gaed sabing and grieving a passage hour until at last she came to a smith's house, and the smith promised if she wad serve him 7 years, he wad make her iron shoon wherewith she could climb all the glassy hill. At 7 years' end she got her iron shoon, clamb the glassy hill, and chanced to come to the old washerwife's habitation. There she was told of a gallant young knight that had given in some bloody socks to wash, and war washed thy socks was to be his wife. The old wife had washed till she was tired, and then she set to her doctor and baith washed, and they washed, and they better washed, in hope for getting the young knight. But ah, they couldn't bring out a stain. At length they set the stranger damsel to work, and whenever she began, the stains came out pure and clean. But the old wife made the knight believe it was her doctor had washed the sarks. So the knight and the eldest doctor were to be married, and the stranger damsel was distracted at the thought of it, for she was deeply in love with him. So she bethought her of her apple, and breaking it, found it filled with gold and precious jewelry, the richest she had ever seen. All these, she said to the eldest doctor, I will give you on condition that you put off your marriage for a day, and allow me to go into his room alone at night. So the lady consented, but meanwhile the old wife had prepared a sleeping drink and given it to the knight, who drank it and never wakened till next morning. The lee-lang night, that damosel sabbed and sang, 7 lang years I served for thee, the glassy hill I clam for thee, the bloody shirt I rang for thee, and wilt thou know what walkin' and turn to me? Next day, she can't know what to do for grief. She then brack the pear and found it filled with jewelry far richer than the contents of the apple. With thy jewels, she bargained for permission to be a second knight in the young knight's chamber. But the old wife guided him another slip and drink, and he again slipped it till morning. Ah, knight, she kept sighing and singing as before. 7 lang years I served for thee, etc. Still he sleepeth, and she nearly lost hope of the gither. But that day, when he was out at the hunting, somebody asked him what noise and moaning was yon they heard all last night in his bedchamber. He said he heard no only noise, but they assured him there was say, and he resolved to keep waking that night to try what he could hear. That being the third night, and the damsel being between hope and despair, she brake her plumb, and it held far the richest jewelry of the three. She bargained as before, and the old wife as before took in the sleeping drink to the young knight's chamber. But he told her he couldn't drink it that night without sweetening, and when she gaed away for the money to sweeten it wi', he poured out the drink, and say made the old wife think he had drunk it. The hour went to bed again, and the damsel began as before singing, 7 lang years I served for thee, the glassy hill I clam for thee, the bloody shirt I rang for thee, and will thou not waken and turn to me? He heard and turned to her, and she told him aye that had befallen her, and he told her aye that had happened to him, and he caused the old washerwife and her doctor to be burned, and they were married, and he and she are living happily to this day for aught I can. The End. Read by Rick Kistner for Lit2Go on the web at fcit.usf.edu.